To be Denise Schick this morning. We've discovered that if we want snow, we just schedule Denise Schick to come from Asheville, and we'll have snow for sure. Denise was going to be here today and talk to us about the LGBTQ situation and how to talk to our children and grandchildren and other members of our family and folks around us about this issue. And you may say, well, we hear enough of it from President Biden and his people, from the news media, from the entertainment media, from advertising. We hear enough about it from the public schools. And that is true. We probably do. However, we need to know what God thinks about it, because that's the only thing that really matters. What God says about it is what trumps the whole matter. And so we feel that we owe it to ourselves and to the church to stay informed on these issues, and possibly we'll be hearing from Denise sometime in the future. What? Oh. Okay. Thomas just trying to help. I'm supposed to tell you that we're not going to have service tonight due to the weather. We'll let you cash in one of those excuses to lay out of church on Sunday night and do it tonight. So that's what Thomas was trying to remind me of. But I missed it. One reason is I'm getting old, and the other reason is I was planning to do it at the end of the service. Okay, I'm just going to start somewhere and see where it goes. I didn't know I was supposed to preach until Thursday or Friday, but I'm just kidding. I mean, I didn't know till then, but I'm not going to start somewhere and just see where it goes. Jesus had a crucial conversation with his disciples in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. And when he finished that conversation, that crucial conversation with his disciples, he finished it by saying to them, there is a way that you can be sure that you don't waste your life. And so Jesus started this crucial conversation with them, talked about a lot of things. And then he ended with how not to waste your life. He was talking with his disciples, and he asked them a question, a crucial question. He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some said, well, they're saying that you are John the Baptist. Others are saying that you are Elijah. And some are saying you're Jeremiah, maybe, or one of the other prophets who has come back. And so Jesus then put it to them in this way. He said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, he said, you did not come to that conclusion on your own. You didn't figure that out for yourself. He said, but God revealed it to you. And so then he went on teaching them some things about the kingdom of God. And then he cautioned them. He said, I'm about to go to Jerusalem. He said, don't tell anybody what you just discovered and just realize that I'm the Son of God, I am the Christ. He said, keep it to yourself because I'm going to Jerusalem. And he said, there I will be mistreated. There I will suffer at the hands of the chief priests and of the elders and of the scribes, and I'll be killed. And then on the third day, I will rise from the dead. And Peter said to him, Lord, that can never happen. We just simply won't allow that. And Jesus said, Peter, you don't know what you're talking about. You're not thinking about what God is about to do. You're thinking about yourself. And so it was at that point in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus said these words. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So Jesus said there in that 24th verse, he said this to his disciples and he's saying it to us as well. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And so Jesus said, this is how not to waste your life. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Luke is relating this same incident of Jesus speaking these words to the disciples. And he puts it this way. If any man shall come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And in John chapter 12 and verse 24, this is John's contribution. He added some things that the others did not. And he records Jesus saying, if a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, he said, if it does not fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it shall bring forth much fruit. And this passage is mentioned in all four of the Gospels. Now, I don't know if you've ever realized it or not in reading scriptures, but Jesus preached a paradoxical message. He preached that to receive, we must give. To be exalted, we must be humbled. To be loved, we must first love, and to live, we must die. I know it sounds absurd, but in reality, this is a glorious truth that will transform your life and mine. We have at least three options of what we can do with our life, and what choices we have in what we do with our life. The first option is this: we can choose to waste our life on things that don't matter. We have the freedom to make that choice, to waste our life on things that do not matter, like the prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, the Bible tells us that this young man one day decided that he was old enough to make his own decisions, and he was tired of his father telling him what to do and running his life. And so he went to his father and demanded his inheritance, and his father gave it to him. I never have figured out why, but his father gave him his inheritance. And the Bible says that he took that inheritance and went out to do his own thing. And he went to a far country, and the Bible says that there he wasted his substance on riotous living. So we can waste our life on things that do not matter. And then I think of the unjust steward, whom the Bible says had wasted his master's goods. Maybe he had gone out and bought him some fine clothes to wear. Or maybe he had taken expensive vacations and used his master's money. But the Bible says that he was an unjust servant, because he wasted his master's goods on things that did not matter to his master. I was thinking today about my mother and the lesson she taught me. She was my first and my best teacher. And she taught me many valuable things. She taught me to love work. She taught me to use my resources wisely, that it is wasteful just to buy things to lavish on myself unless they had real value and would keep that value. And so I learned many lessons from her. Several years ago, I spoke at South Green High School at the beginning of the year. Mr. Andrew Renner had asked me to come and speak to the students. And I shared with them some of the lessons my mother had taught me. One of them was this. She said, "Anything worth doing is worth doing right." She said, "Nothing is worth doing that is easy. Things that are worth doing are difficult and require a tremendous commitment from us." And she always taught me, always finish what you start. Always follow through. Don't waste your effort. Don't waste your resources. And so we can waste our lives on things that do not matter. Solomon, whom we know as the wisest king of Israel. Solomon, the scripture tells us that he wasted his life trying to entertain himself with women, many women, many wives, and accumulating a lot of wealth, investing his life in just getting things for himself. And he wasted his life learning the wisdom of the world that he lived in. And in the end, he actually became a cynic. He made statements in the book of Ecclesiastes like, all is vexation and vanity of spirit. And so he became a cynical man. He wasted his life on things that did not matter. I think of Samson, one of the judges of Israel, who wasted his life in many ways. And his parents, when he got old enough, he began to demand having his own way. And his parents became codependent with him and became enablers realizing that the things that he wanted were not things that would last for eternity and were not things that pleased God. And so Samson wasted his life on his physical strength, trusting in his physical strength to be the answer to all of his problems. He wasted his life on taking revenge against his enemies and ended up taking his own life as he was taking revenge on his enemies. So we could choose the option of wasting our life on things that do not matter. You know, I wonder, it's no wonder to me, in the world that we live in today, it is no wonder to me that we are bored to death and unhappy and miserable and depressed and desperate to find happiness. And we end up doing silly things that don't matter, that make no difference, doing drugs and alcohol and sex and all kinds of perversions that expose us as broken people who are wasting our lives. But the truth is, folks, although we can make the choice to waste our lives on things that don't matter, we were not designed for that. We were not designed to waste our life spend our life watching television and living our lives through watching the TV or through movies and watching life take place on the sports fields or on computers. And all the other ways that we do. We were designed by God in His image to live lives of purpose and to live lives that matter. But we can choose the option of living our lives for things that do not matter and waste our lives. The Scripture says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And we also can waste our lives by spending our lives on things that make a name for us. You know, the truth is, what we do for ourselves dies with us. But what we do for Jesus Christ and for others in His name lives forever, is immortal. Time is life. What we give our time to means that we are investing our life in those things. Several years ago, our youngest son, Joel, decided, I think he was probably in his late teens or early 20s, he'd started working out at Plus Park, and he wanted a pickup truck. And so he looked around, found one. I think it was about $12,000. And he came to me and he said, Dad, what do you think? And I said, well, Joel, anytime you're going to buy something, especially of that amount, you need to sit down and calculate how long it'll take you to make that much money to pay for it. And then realize that if you purchase whatever it is, you are trading that much of your life to own that thing, to have it for yourself. And he said, gosh, Dad, if you do that, you won't buy anything. But we can waste our lives in that way. We can waste our lives lavishing things on ourselves for no one's benefit but our own. There's a story in the Old Testament about Queen Esther. She decided that since the lives of her family and her nation were at risk because of a law that had been passed, that she would risk her own life by going to the king and trying to persuade him not to do this awful thing. And she knew that to go before the king without being invited would mean that her life would be at risk. And she finally came to the conclusion she was going to do it because somebody had to do it. Somebody had to intervene. And so she finally said, If I perish, I perish. I'm going to put it in God's hands. I'm going to trust Him. And if I perish, I perish. Now, she'll always be remembered for her willingness to sacrifice herself. I think of the Hebrew boys in Babylon, Daniel, and the lion's den and the fiery furnace. They were threatened with their lives if they didn't cave in to the king and his wishes. They would be thrown in the fiery furnace or the lion's den. When they began weighing their options about it, they said, "We know that God can deliver us, but if He does not." We're going to do what's right. And we remember the Hebrew boys even today. And I think of the woman with the alabaster box of ointment who came where Jesus and his disciples were in Simon the leper's house. And she took that box of ointment that she probably had gained by selling her body for maybe a year, very expensive, and broke it and poured that ointment on the head of Jesus. And there were some around who said it's a waste, but she spent it on Jesus. And because she did, she is still remembered today. Jesus said, because of what this woman has done, she'll be remembered down through the ages. So folks, we can waste our lives on things that don't matter. We can waste our lives just on our own whims. But the only way our lives will be remembered is if we lavish our love and lavish our service and our commitment on Jesus Christ. So we can waste our life on things that don't matter. We can waste our lives on ourselves. Or we can invest our life. We can invest our life in ways that will bring glory to God for generations to come. In Matthew 16 and 24 again, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. You know, Jesus invested his life in our salvation. He had to die before we could see the power of God in the resurrection. And we have to die before we can experience the power of God in our life. We have to die to the old life that we have lived. We have to die to ourselves before we can experience the power of God in our lives. We have to die to experience the regeneration. We have to die before we can experience salvation and the power of forgiveness. And the power that God has to transform our lives. So we can waste our life on things that don't matter. We can waste our lives simply on ourselves. Or we can invest our lives in something that, in ways that will bring glory to God to generations to come. A few years back, Miss Judy and I were pastoring over in Middle Tennessee, and I met a man by the name of Mark. And Mark had been brought up in church, in a family, and a church where he had been taught baptismal regeneration, or he'd been taught that baptism saves you. And because he'd never been born again, he had never come to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and he became an alcoholic and a drug addict, and a womanizer. And he had ruined his health. He was probably in his mid-50s when I met him. And I began to share Christ with him, and one day I led Mark to the Lord in our living room. And after I prayed with him, I said, "Mark, you need, now that you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you need to find a church where the gospel is preached and where people will love you and pray for you and encourage you, and a place where you can feel the presence of God. You need to get in church. Read your Bible, pray, and stay close to God." He said, "Well, I'd like to come to church here if it's all right." I thought he'd want to go back where his family was. And, of course, I said, "We'd love to have you." And so about 5 or 6 years after Mark's health caved in on him, and Mark died. What he had done for himself died with him. But what he had done in receiving Christ as his Savior and sowing the seed of the gospel in other people's lives is immortal. One of my heroes for many, many years now is a man by the name of Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was a missionary along with four other men And in 1952, they were in Ecuador trying to minister to the Wadani tribe, a tribe of the Indians in Ecuador that were very violent and had never received the gospel. And they were ministering to them and were going into the jungle to reach them and to tell them about Christ. And for some reason, those Indians turned on them and killed all five of them. Jim Elliot was one of them. You may have seen the movie. It was a movie made about it. A book was written called Through Gates of Splendor. And then a movie that was called The End of the Spear was the story of their lives and their sacrifice. But Jim Elliot said several things that were worth remembering. One of them was this. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And he also said, "When the time comes to die, make sure that's all you have to do. When the time comes to die, make sure that's all you have to do." Jesus said, "Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And whosoever shall save his life shall lose it." Thomas asked me this week when we realized Denise wasn't going to be here and I'd be preaching. He said, "What are you going to preach on?" And I shared with him, "I'm going to preach on how not to waste your life." And so Thomas chose a song. I don't remember what he said. But here's the song that came to my mind, one of the old hymns. And it says this: "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. If any man will come after me, have you come after him? Have you turned your life, your heart and life over to Jesus Christ? Let me tell you something. The longer you put it off, the more life you waste. Every day lived without Jesus Christ is a day that is wasted. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." Have you gotten that far yet? Have you surrendered yourself completely to Jesus Christ? Have you denied yourself and stopped wanting your own way and choosing his? If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. That means self-execution. That means being willing to sacrifice what you may want or what I may want for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Not just when you feel like it, not just when it's convenient for you, but every day, every moment, in every decision, in every choice you have to make. Are you choosing to follow him? Are you willing to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him? Would you stand with me, please? Today,